Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to episode 206 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell. With me today, I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zof Smith,
Hamid Salahur and Altahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu.
And Tesla's dead.
Yes.
Tesla is face down on a bed in front of Azu and Wild. Very, very dead.
All right.
Very, very quick recap. You all returned back to the one that got away in London, and you were all having a lovely grand old time, and Tesla's dead. So I'm going to pick up exactly where we left off, which is Wild and Azu have discovered a very evidently dead Tesla. And by very evidently dead, I mean that he is face down in his bed, his back is awash with blood, and you can see enough of the inside of Tesla to know that that's not someone who's alive.
Ooh,
okay. Sticky.
Azu turns to Wild and says, "We need to tell the others now. I'm going to see how long he's been dead. Yes.
Yep. Wild okay. Just runs off and starts fetching people.
Okay, I would like to roll a heal check.
I think that's a really good idea.
Yes, thank you. All right, here we go. If I roll badly and I'm just like, well, he's dead, I'm going to be very upset. I did, in fact, roll quite badly, but I upped my heal, so that is actually a 21.
Ooh. 21, okay. You've hit a DC, so thank you.
Thanks.
Information that you now know. He's dead. Two. He's been dead for probably a few hours, less than a day.
Okay.
More than instant, his body is cool. Oof. And in terms of the method of killing, this is someone who was attacked from behind while they were in bed.
Aww.
And it's a very odd wound pattern. It seems to be like an animal attack, but with some stabs as well.
Do I know what kind of animal? Because, like, the attack of a dog is very different to the attack of, like, a hawk.
A squid.
It would be something with a significant body mass, much larger than a dog.
Like a bear.
Like a bear?
It looks like there was a kill bite on the back of the skull, which was the point of kill.
Okay, I think that's a bear thing.
And it appears that there are also, though, stab wounds in the back, not just animal wounds.
Oh no! What if it was Sir McNeil?
What if it was Barrett pretending that it was Sir McNeil?
Oh god! Oh no, and he's perceptive enough to be able to figure out that... But we saw Sir McNeil and she was fine. Or at least, no, you did. Some of us did? We have seen Sir McNeil.
Oh, Sir McNeil you spoke to like 5 minutes ago. Yeah. You knocked on Sir McNeil's door prior to Tesla's and just got a... Hello.
I mean, also, Barrett might have been a werewolf all along. No one's checked him. No one checked him for lycanthropy. Like,
that's
have
true.
We ever seen him at night?
That's is he true. A druid? Does yeah. he have powers from the squizzards?
Yeah.
Maybe Barrett was actually originally a bear that got bit by a human and caught human.
Maybe Barrett.
Or he just used a beast shape potion.
Or that.
Could see, be. Welcome to a world where there's a million answers to every question and none of them are helpful.
Magic's complicated.
All right.
I am going to cut to. Probably Zolf and Cell would be the first people that Wild had run into, where Wild immediately just points to Tesla's door. Tesla's been murdered. Azu's in there right now. I'm getting everyone else. And then Wild just runs off towards the lab.
Quickly and silently power walk over to Tesla's room.
Yeah.
Yep, you see a similar situation. I would say it doesn't look like there was a struggle. So you're not looking at, like, sprays of blood up the wall, disturbances all over the room. It's the room's not been trashed. The takeaway is it looks like a crime of passion upon someone who was asleep. So you're looking at tousled covers, but that's about it.
I'm also going to do a heel check, and, like, Zolf is proper silent. I mean, I guess quite rude. I guess nobody's going to care in this sort of situation, but like hyper-focused and it's like, right, you know.
So question, focused scrutiny is a spell that gives heightened sensitivity to the manners, reaction and body language of one creature that you can perceive. Does not specify that the creature, the target creature is alive.
Yes, it does. In Pathfinder, it's got a wonderful thing where if you're alive, you're a creature. If you're dead, you're an object.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But your spirit, obviously, like, for spirit magic, you still count as a creature, but, like, your mortal remains are an object.
Okay, that's a shame. Could have perceived so much.
Apologies. Yeah, you can't... I'd let you use it to read the body language of the corpse as that of a corpse, but right, that's cool. As far as I'll let you go.
Well, I could potentially read whether he was able to defend himself. Don't open up these doors.
I'll tell you what, give me the heal check, Ben, and then I'll return to you.
I already rolled, it was rubbish, and I get no new information. He's dead.
Okay. All right, okay, yeah. Mm. Yeah, focus scrutiny is not the friend you want it to be in this situation.
Okay.
But speaking of friends in this situation, Wild is banging on the lab door.
Well, I think you've forgotten, Alex, that Hammond and Skrark were dealing with their own entirely separate crisis, so they'll have been doing something in the meantime.
You know what? I will cut to Hammond and Skrark, in fact, with the knowledge that Wild is going to be banging on the door real soon.
Skrark, you stay here. Watch, make sure no one... I'm going to go and get everyone else. They need to know about this. But first... I'm going to very quickly cast Heroism on Skrark, just for the daily, you know, upping of his survivability, which takes 3 seconds. And then I'm going to start running up the stairs out of the lab and probably barrel into Wild coming down.
Ada is still with Skrark at this point, going, how did you know there was a door there? Whatever. You run past. You basically... run into the lab door, throw open the big metal door to a Wild looking panicked, going, there's something important I've got to tell
Oscar,
you!
Oscar, there's an entrance!
There's a corpse!
What? Who's dead?
Tesla!
Oh my god! Oh my god, what?
Leave someone to guard the door, and then we need to reconvene at the bedroom.
Okay, Scrap, you're...
We'll come Wild back lead you back towards Tesla's bedroom.
Okay, in the bedroom, Alex, let's pass on focus scrutiny. I suggest I roll knowledge nature to check what animal it was.
Yeah, perfect. Sounds good to me.
Ooh, cool. I rolled a 9, so that's only 31.
Very large bite pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to have no natural form that leaps to mind of yours. Mm-hmm. It's not like clearly a bear or clearly a wolf. Mm-hmm. You think that it was probably bear-sized, but there is a morphic pattern to the bite, so the shape of the teeth were changing as they bit.
Ooh.
It is a werewolf.
I tell everyone this, or Cell does in a very Cell...
For free, though, you do also confirm that those possible stab wounds are definitely stab wounds, not animal attack wounds. Mm-hmm. Animals don't have claws that are perfectly straight and or serrated. Doesn't work like that.
No. Well, I mean, some of them do, but let's just assume that we can tell the difference here.
I'm tempted to erase all of those animals from this campaign world, so I'm right.
Yeah, there will be no scavengers here. Cell explains all of this. I would like you to imagine this with the now improved goggles, like zooming in and out. So it's very much one of those remakes of Sherlock Holmes in a sort of steampunk magic universe, of which there are dozens.
In my mind, they kind of look like those glasses where you've got like a spring in each lens and they're popping, they're sort of boinging.
No levity here, Helen. This is a serious remake.
Sorry.
This is one that has, like, this is not a Bernie Dac Cumberbatch one. This is like, serious actor. And like, it's noir and
I'm so upset, Helen. I now can't delete the image of Cell going around with bouncy eyes. I'm going to work real hard to, but you've inserted that. You've totally incepted that image.
I can't believe we're in Endgame now, and the two of you are joking.
How I know. I am so sorry.
At a time like this.
I am so sorry. A man is dead. Okay, so I am going to go ahead and say that the party, excluding Skrark, because Skrark's doing guard duty at the tunnel, convene at Tesla's bedroom.
Cool. Okay, well, Barrett is missing and we have a dead body, so I think probably Barrett did this.
Cell relates all the details that they gained from the check. The creature was bear-sized and was transforming at the point it was biting.
Me and Skrark, we found a secret tunnel in the lab, but Ada didn't know about it. Maybe he did, and that's how he... Is everyone else okay? Do we know where everyone else is?
Ah, good point. Wild runs off to go and says, I'm going to go find the others.
Augusta and the Professor.
And Summit Neil.
So Summit Neil's door is directly opposite from Tesla's, like right next to
it. They come in.
Summit Neil is sort of opening the door slowly and looking quite confused at everyone.
Tesla's dead.
What?
And I'm going to watch their face very hard.
Yeah.
Everyone give me a sense motive.
Yes.
19.
Ooh.
29.
22.
17.
For everyone apart from Azu, that's a very blank face. That's a very blank face. Somebody else quite good at being blank. I'd say that for Azu, there's an ambivalence there, but a very strong one, and it's being controlled. You don't know whether it's a happy sad, an angry shock, but there is a big old mix of emotions that's being put behind a wall right now.
Okay.
Right.
Cell slowly says, It appears that he was killed by a bite wound.
That does seem to clock a shock reaction. An unnatural death.
Yes. Not in his... Well, in his sleep, yes.
He was murdered.
Unnaturally in his sleep, stabbed and bitten and... Azu gestures to the bed.
Summit Neil looks and then collapses. She doesn't completely faint, but she does just drop. Just slumps down against the door frame.
Can I make a reflex save to try and catch them?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Okay. It's not going to... I hope I don't do badly on this, because I'd like to catch them. That's a 21.
21? Yeah, you can catch them as they just slump against the doorway.
Okay.
You don't need a sense motive. You just pointed to someone who was viciously murdered to someone who has an extended history with this person and has very conflicted emotions and was struggling with being back in proximity to them. Like,
yeah.
You're, for free, your sense motive is this is either an exceptional act or I may have been a mistake to point them out there.
That's absolutely what Azu's thinking. Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Whoops.
Right. Looks like it was Barrett then. Okay. Let's go to the secret entrance. We need to catch up with him as soon as we can.
Yes.
We need to make sure that Ada's protected. If he took out Nicola, then maybe he'll go after her next too.
Mm. All right. You stay here. We'll go.
Wild sort of comes running back around the corridor with Augusta in tow. Augusta is decked with weaponry and armor.
Ooh.
Like proper, fully decked in very, very impressive, like medium armor, a pair of different broadswords strapped across her back, and she's ready for a fight. Wild looks panicked next to her. We can't find Einstein.
Oh.
He was heading to the toilets.
We checked. There's no sign of him.
Well, Einstein can teleport.
Not here.
But he can't teleport out of here.
Okay, I know. Look, Einstein is not important right now. We need to find Barrett. We need to find...
What if Barrett was hiding in the toilets and used Einstein to teleport somewhere? And he knew something about teleporting out of here that we don't.
Then we need to find Barrett.
Zolf's right. We need to at least get this place in shut down, and we have an open door right now.
Augusta, make sure the non-combatants don't die. We're all going, and we're following Barrett down that hole.
Yes.
Okay.
At which point, all of the lights start to dim within the building.
Oh, Sidon's knees. Oh. What is happening?
So, in terms of the lighting, this has been a sort of Magitek lighting situation. I'm basically kind of fudging gas lamps combined with sort of magic crystals as a kind of look.
Yeah.
They all start to dim and dim, and then very quickly, we're talking in the matter of, say, like less than six seconds, drop the entire place into pitch black.
Azu swears really loudly.
Hamid uses his 6 seconds as one combat round. Hamid uses his move action to put on the night goggles that you gave us before the Svalbard mission, and uses his standard action to cast mage armor on himself.
Nice.
Dude knows the rules.
Yes, he
what
does.
What a power! I'm going to count. I think that Sel is always wearing the goggles because there's just always layers of goggles going on. Headbands and goggles. Altogether.
Is anything happening?
The lights have just died.
We should go. Ada and Skrek are down there, and they are the most vulnerable.
Right.
Yes, let's go now.
I go.
Augusta pipes up. The lab has a separate power supply to the rest of the complex,
still,
so it should still be fine.
Azu strides away.
Cool. Yeah, you don't have any objections as that's happening, so you all start heading down. Obviously, it's a little bit slower. I'm going to assume as well that people are moving cautiously.
No, I have dark vision.
Yeah, we've all got dark vision.
Yeah.
I meant more cautious. Okay, fine. You all are bombing it through the complex.
Yes, because
yeah.
If Ada's being actively murdered, I don't care if somebody tries to stab me by surprise.
Understood. Please, everyone give
me
a perception check.
We have more hit points than she does.
Mm.
We do.
28.
16.
19.
24.
Hamid. You can hear, as everyone's clattering by, you stop just for a second, think you see something, but as you stop and just fall ever so slightly behind, you hear a faint sound seems to be permeating the complex. You can't place what it is. It's like a static or a hiss or something. You're able to run and catch up with the rest of the group very easily. It's just you had a moment's reprieve to hear a very low sort of just underlying seemingly everywhere.
Don't like that. Don't like that at all. Are we all going to struggle to breathe soon? Hamid is trying to get his wings to come out again, but he hasn't quite mastered it yet, so they're not, it's not really happening, but he's at the back now, so no one else will notice.
Aww.
He's just running down with one wing out going, ah!
No, they sort of grow and retract, and he can't quite get them to... But by the time anyone notices, they're gone again, because he didn't accomplish it properly.
I was going to say teething problems. It's more like winging problems. You all make it to the front door of the lab to find it locked. Like, the big metal door is closed, locked, and apparently sealed.
Skrek, it's us!
I bang on the door. Ada?
You hear sort of movement from the other side, and then you hear a... Hello? Is that who?
It's everyone.
What's going
everyone
on?
Open a bloody door.
Open the door right now.
Tesla made me swear I wouldn't if something like this happened.
Tesla's dead.
Do you want to get murdered in that lab, or do you want us to protect you?
There's another entrance now, Ada. We found it, remember?
Can I get a fort save from everyone, please?
Yeah. 11.
21.
16.
22.
Wild gets... Oh, what a champ. What a champ.
Well, that means he did badly.
See, that could mean anything.
No, it means he did badly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just like, oh, that is the death I needed.
Yeah.
Or, no. Oh, he gets to live another day. How can we have been doing this for 6 years and not know what the reactions are?
Oh, love it. Everyone, apart from Azu and Zolf, collapse.
Cool.
Seemingly unconscious.
Oh, nap time.
Azu swears just again extremely loudly.
Stumble and then bump.
Right, what's that? I'm going to, whoever's closest to me, I'm going to do a heal check just to make sure they're not dead.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I got a 22 on my heal check on, I don't, whoever was closest.
It seems that they've been poisoned.
Balls.
Isn't Cell immune to poison?
I'm immune to poison.
Oh, and also I should have got a plus two.
Oh!
Oh, Zolf, you're fine. You've not collapsed. But the interesting thing here is, Cell's immune to poison. You leveled, and you're immune to poison.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. You're fine. You're hunky dory.
Okay.
The universe glitches momentarily, shudders, and then Cell momentarily T poses and then reappears completely fine.
Okay. Cell will do a in the same immediate reaction. Let's assume that Azu says, oh, they've been poisoned.
I do.
So we'll do a craft alchemy?
Yeah, that's fine.
Cool.
Give me a craft alchemy. Let's see where that comes in.
31.
There is an inhalation poison in the air. You recognise the slight tingling in the nostrils that accompanies that. Someone seems to have released an inhalation poison into the atmosphere, and it's been hitting people very hard. What was the exact score again?
31.
You believe... Actually, you just know. There's an obscure drug which is used in the Americas quite a lot. It can be purchased in Europe and so on, but it is an illicit substance that is normally not allowed. It's called Sweet Dream. How Sweet Dream works is very simple. It will send you to sleep. If you're a fairly robust type, it'll send you to sleep for a minute or two. If you're not, it can knock you out for hours and hours, during the time of which you will have the most blissful and wonderful dreams. The reason it's an illicit substance is not because it is a physically addictive substance, but people have a tendency to basically reshape their lives around it because it's so wonderful an experience.
Right.
You know that when the people are asleep, they can be woken, but if they're not taken away from the source of it, they're just going to fall straight back asleep again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cell explains this... And essentially explains that it's... So the effects seem to be sleep for 1 minute and forget events of 1d4 rounds prior. That is not enough time, even if we get up to four, for them to forget the murder.
You are correct.
And sleep for 1d4 hours. But it doesn't say it's a magical sleep, so they should be able to wake up if we just shake them.
But they will immediately then... still be subject to the thing that's making them sleep unless you remove them from the situation or change the situation.
Can you stop it?
I can. It's in the air. They're continuing to breathe it in. If we can get them away from the source.
No, I mean, look, we just need access.
What's going on?
You need to let us in. The air here.
Because that'll let the air in, actually, if Ada's still fine. Is Skrark in there with you?
He's keeping an eye on the tunnel. He says that there's a locked gate a little bit further down.
Right.
We just get them in and then we lock the door behind us. It'll dissipate in the air.
How confident are
you? So it won't be enough, if we're quick, it won't be enough to contaminate it.
I am rolling a knowledge alchemy check.
You won't need it. I'll give it you from the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Can you state what your assertion was again? I can just tell you whether that's accurate or tweak it.
That if we got in quickly and brought a tiny bit of air with us, it would be dissipated enough not to affect people.
You know that it's a very, very potent one. Ada and Skrark would need to retreat to the tunnel. But in principle, yes, if you can drag everyone in and then close the door and wait, say, 60 seconds, it will be dissipated if it has a separate air supply.
Right, yep. Explains that. Stressing the extra air supply... bit.
How many bodies are there here, Alex?
So, currently unconscious is Augusta, Wild, and Hamid.
fine. We can move them in one round. Yeah, because you can carry two. Yeah, I can carry one. Right.
You go as far into the tunnel as you can and, like, breathe as far in there as possible. And we'll get them in and we'll shut the door super quick. And the new air supply will... You know, Cell goes into too many details when Cell is agitated. I do not need to roleplay forever. I just need to explain it.
Cell, get the door open. Because Zolf is having none of the over-explaining. He's just, do it.
So Ada's like, I mean, I can open the door on my side so that you can... I can unlock the door on my side, and then if I go to the other end of the...
Do it, go.
Yes,
now.
Do that.
Unlock okay, it. Okay, we'll be in 2 seconds.
Right. Okay. Azu, Hammond and Wild.
Yep.
And I'll grab Augusta.
So Ada unlocks the door from the other side, and you can hear the retreating footsteps to the far side of the room.
I'll deal with the door.
Everyone ready?
Thank you.
Everyone give me a reflex save.
Okay.
Oh, roll well, Azu, roll well. Not bad. 17?
22.
27.
Hamid obviously is an auto fail.
He's being dragged.
Wild That's is an auto works. Fail.
Hmm.
Oh, we counted the wrong number of bodies. Summit Neil is also unconscious.
Oh, Christ. I can probably still do two, actually.
You are a very strengthy lot. It will be trivial.
Yeah. Hammond is very light.
Plus four and plus five is fine.
Yeah.
I think Summit Neil, as frail as their physical form is, combined with Hammond, still doesn't constitute, like, a hefty, medium-sized creature. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
I just pick Hammond up by the scruff of his neck like a cat.
So, as a result... As the door opens, you know, with a and starts pulling aside, and you all grab people and start dragging in. I'm going to say, Azu, you take a quick look over your shoulder as you do so and see a large humanoid figure briefly outlined in silhouette from the light coming through the door. And then everything goes white for everyone. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Greetings, fantasy fans and adventure aficionados. I'm your host, Kip Gilligan. To my left is the legendary Stormclad Thundertongue.
Now, who in the hell's put sleeves on my suit?
Join us every Monday to watch teams of heroes rise through the ranks of the League of Ultimate Questing.
We're serving up a double-decker high fantasy bloodsport burger with all the comedy fixins and no napkins. Bring a bib, because things are going to get messy. Oh, yeah!
Visit slapdashstudios.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are available. No dungeon too deep, no quest too questionable. This is the League of Ultimate Questing.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so, looking back down the corridor that you've come from, there's that creepy figure before everything went white, yes?
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. In that case, then...
That sounds like so many dice.
That sounds like a lot of damage.
It is a lot of dice. You're assuming damage. Maybe it's how many NPCs die.
No!
Might be non-lethal, and Alex is trying to knock us all out by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
It could just be summoning a load of corgis. Like, that could just be how many corgis I'm summoning.
10d6 corgis.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be
swarm of corgis.
Okay. I am checking one thing very quickly.
I mean, it's how many health potions we'll get.
Azu?
Yes.
I shouldn't swear.
Alex! No!
Helen,
what's
it's
this?
Fine. You've got loads of hit points.
I know, but he's laughing so much. Alex!
Okay.
More of a mischievous
Helen,
giggle.
Sorry. Azu, you take 10, 20, 31, 42, 44 lightning damage.
Nice.
Oh, and Zulf's freaking resistant to it, isn't he?
Everyone else who did not hit the DC of 19 also takes the same damage. Zulf, you take 22 damage.
Cool.
Hamid takes 44 damage.
Ooh.
Sel takes 22 damage.
Hey!
Azu takes the full 44. Wild takes the full 44. Summit Niel takes the full 44.
Oh, yeah.
And Augusta takes the full 44.
That's why you had so much fun saying that they auto failed. I understand now.
Alex.
Yes. Yeah. Alex. And it was all by legitimate rolls. I'm so happy. I'm so happy right now.
Bryn, how many hit points do you have?
Left.
How many hit points do you have to start with? That's more useful for me to know.
62.
Okay, you're still alive. It's fine.
Okay, so. Everything goes white as lightning damage just slams into Azu, crackling through your bones and between your teeth, then leaps to everyone else in the group. At which point, the shadowy figure leaps forward incredibly quickly and powers towards the group. Zulf, you have dark vision, correct?
Yes, I also have attacks of opportunity in a 10-foot reach.
Yep, that's fine. Azu?
Yes, I also have dark vision.
You have dark vision, and Sel, you have dark vision currently, don't you?
Yep.
Perfect, cool. So the creature charges forward, and it is very difficult to make out what they actually look like. They seem mostly to be defined by how they're distorting the shape of the corridor around them.
Oh, God.
And as they draw nearer, though, they definitely seem to have some kind of humanoid form.
Mm.
However, the head is larger than it should be. The arms appear to be 6-foot blades. And the creature stops 10 foot short of Zulf specifically. At which point, two weird sort of... Have you ever seen, like, a straightened slinky?
I mean, it's a... Well, that's a wire, Alex.
That's just a bit of wire.
No. A badly straightened slinky, so it's still got the weird twists and
kicks. Do you mean
kicks.
A stretched out slinky?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
right.
Like a coil kind of thing.
Two coils. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Stretched out slinky is a very elongated way of saying coil. Thank you. Two coils of matter extricate themselves from the shoulders of this creature, hover in the air, then dash forward, both of which for Zulf. They do not trigger attacks of opportunity.
Okay. Is that written in their sheet?
Yes, explicitly.
Fair enough.
At which point, they then sort of, distorting wildly, stab outwards towards Zolf's face.
Okay. Are they evil?
Zulf does not know, but I would say you could make an educated guess of yes. What's your AC?
22.
I believe it's 22, yeah. Because that's all the number you've given me all day is 22, and I don't know why or how. Okay, they are evil. You are taking damage reduction.
Cool.
Because of the way it pans out, one of them manages to stab through to your face, dealing 8 damage. Specifically, it is slashing.
Okay, is that before or after the damage reduction?
That is before damage reduction.
Grand.
And they then hover in front of your face, spiking wildly. It's sort of like looking at, you know, like audio visualizers in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
That. Yeah.
At which point, I think everyone should probably roll me initiative. Okay. Probably.
Oh, that's a natural one.
Oh.
I assume I don't need to, Alex.
Anyone who is unconscious will be taking a 0.
Yep.
Natural 20.
21.
6.
Well, it was a natural 20, so that's 24 in total.
Yep. Can you roll for Skrark, Bryn, please?
12.
Excellent. And I've rolled everyone else's up for them. Fabulous. In which case then, Cell, you are up. To describe the scene, you are in the... Technically, you're going to be in the mini-workshop, because the mini-workshop leads into the lab, yeah.
Mm.
Cell, you are in the... Well, everyone is in the sort of mini-workshop. You're at the entrance to the main, like, lab with the big metal door, etc. That door is now ajar.
Mm-hmm.
At the entrance to the mini-lab, stood, silhouetted in the corridor by the light of the now-open door. That creature was stood there and then moved forward. Mm-hmm. The big creature is now 10 foot from you.
Mm-hmm.
And the small creatures are, like, basically sharing a square with Zolf.
Oh, that's annoying, because a bomb would then hit him, wouldn't
it? Bomb's going to hit everyone. Unless you throw to the far side, you try to place it behind Big Boy.
Yeah, but if it hits Big Boy, they only have 5 foot splash, so it...
Oh, then everyone will be all right.
Yeah, so I will... Cell will be unloading bombs into large lad.
Understood. Go for it.
Okay, let's do some rolling. Okay, 26.
That is a miss.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Does it still take splash damage?
So you've raised a good question regarding what happens when you miss and still want to use a splash damage, so I've looked it up. And I'm going to come out and say, that's a stupid rule. That is a... I don't often say this. That is a bad rule. So I am not doing that rule. I refuse. That is ludicrous. So what I'm going to be doing instead is, if you miss by a certain factor of the AC, I will call for, basically, I'll just make a roll that's effectively just determining whether it's likely to hit anyone or not. Or if you completely fumble, I will automatically assume that the fumble is going to be hurting someone that you don't want it to hurt. By a fumble, I mean a nat one.
Okay, cool.
To be clear, on this situation, you've missed, and you've missed in such a way that it just flies over, it doesn't splash the creature or anyone that you care about.
Okay, if that is a big miss, there's no way that Cell can hit this creature, because that was Cell rolling high. With their highest attack bonus.
To give you a description, by the way, you threw it, you seemed to throw ever so slightly wide, but the thing moved ludicrously quickly. Just sort of think bullet dodging in the Matrix, just sort of turned a shoulder and it flew over. It didn't really even seem particularly phased.
Yeah, okay, so that is not worth wasting bombs on. There is a negligible chance of rolling higher than that. So... that is the first of four attacks. You know what? Let's do one more. And then...
Okay.
But no, they rolled a 3, so...
Nah, that's wildly off, unfortunately.
Having seen those two things happen, Cella's going to save their bombs. And that having been their main action, I assume they do not have time to grab at the nearest... unconscious person and begin to drag them away. But if they do have that time, then they will begin doing that.
I'll be generous and allow you to grab the nearest unconscious person, but I wouldn't allow you to then drag them away. You're using your movement to grab them. I'm kind of fudging it a bit, but that
sure.
Seems okay to me.
Okay, I mean, it's like using a standard act rather than a full round thing. I think they would get the two attacks anyway, because they're not, like, then using
it's,
their
it's,
bonus
it's
things.
Fine. You've grabbed a person, but you've not been able to run through the door.
Cool.
Who did you grab? Everyone's within reach, so it's...
Everyone's within reach. Hamid is the lightest, and the one that Cell knows the most will grab Hamid off the ground.
Cool.
I can't hit that.
In which case, then, due to weird shenanigans, it is now Slinky number one. Slinky number one takes another stab for Zolf's face. Succeeds, but I think is only going to be doing... Oh. Basically goes, stabs at your face says no.
Yep.
Got a sturdy face.
It's that beard defense.
And then it moving through the group and then through the doorway to the other side without provoking any attacks of opportunity. At which point, Azu, you're up.
Right. I detect evil automatically, I think, don't I?
Yeah, you can detect evil at will, as are you. And would you like to know whether it's evil and how evil?
Yes.
Oh, this might be the most evil thing. I mean, this is right up there.
Okay.
Like, this is proper ludicrous evil. Okay. This is nonsense levels of evil. This thing is as if you tried to concentrate evil and then removed the bits so it's just the pure, squeezed, fresh evil. It's nonsense evil.
It's the Vanta Black of evil.
Absolutely. 100% yes.
Are the two little things still in front of me or have they gone past me?
They are. One of them is past you, the other one is still up in Zolf's face.
I would like to use Holy Whisper.
Ooh.
Cheeky. That is a range of 30 foot. Is that going to hit the big thing and the little thing?
Helen, I have an offer.
Oh?
Because we're given the numbers that are occurring, we're going to have to be very... We're going to have to tactically work together in a sort of gamey way instead of a narrative way, I think.
Yes.
You've got the thing where
That's fair, and I will allow you to do so. You are a well-oiled fighting machine.
You've got the thing where you can, like, give everybody, including yourself, smite evil, right?
I do have that.
To answer your question, by the way, the small one, everything would be, is within 30 feet. The small one that went through the door is actually, like, the 30-foot square away, if you see what I mean. You'd hit everything with anything that's got a range of 30 foot, so everyone knows.
I mean, it's a cone, so I might not.
Ah. Okay, so, Holy Whispers. Walk me through it, Helen.
I'll read you what it says. You whisper a single word in the primordial language of good that is anathema to the minions of evil and strengthens the resolve of good creatures. Evil creatures within the burst, it is a 30-foot cone-shaped burst.
Yep.
They must make a fortitude saving throw, which in my case is a DC 16, or they become sickened for one round per level, which in my case is 11 rounds. Evil outsiders with the evil subtype, evil aligned dragons and undead also take 2d8 points of damage if they fail the DC 16. Good aligned creatures will gain +2 sacred bonus on attack and damage rolls for one round.
I think that might... Because you said you were hammering on the door, right, when this fight kicked off.
Yeah.
Which means that I'm probably standing between you and the creature, which means you'd probably hit me with that cone,
That's
right?
That's what I thought.
Hell yeah.
I think you will hit everything except the one tiny enemy that already made it through the door.
Yeah.
That is correct. That's correct. It's a very, very optimal play. I normally wouldn't let you do this kind of like high level, but I've thrown something super, super interesting.
You
so that's
opened
okay.
with a surprise round chain lightning, so...
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I opened with surprise round chain lightning in the dark with poison whilst also summoning minions. So yeah, I'm going to allow you to confer.
Thank you.
Cool, yeah. So in that case then, I will first give a fort save.
Please be bad. Please be bad.
That's a real bad roll. Okay, remind me of the effect... on the enemy.
On the enemy, it's
is
going
it an
now
outsider?
It is automatically now sickened for 11 rounds.
11 rounds?
If it's
rounds?
An outsider with the evil subtype, it also takes 2d8 points of damage.
11 rounds?
That's a lot of sick.
Yikes! Wow! Okay. Yeah, so, this thing clearly hits the big scary like a ton of bricks.
Good.
Just, it actively reacts. It's almost been impassive. It's moved and then stopped. And then moved and then stopped. But that one gives a... And it resets itself. The thing that's up in Zolf's grill appears completely unaffected.
Okay.
Does it take damage?
So, in terms of the damage, it was that it deals damage and extra if they're an evil outsider, correct?
Only if they're an evil outsider or a dragon or undead.
So, you want the interesting stuff, the first stuff that's really going to throw you.
It's not an outsider.
Nope.
Oh, it's because it's a transformed Barrett, and he's not an outsider. That's, well, that is my thought. I don't know, but that would explain the visceral horrible attacks as well.
Yeah.
So, nonetheless, you've done an enormous. You've done an enormous against me, and I will say this because I think you need a little bit of comfort, Helen. It was real well played. That was very, very well played.
I'm really glad because that was teamwork.
You pulled,
which has
you
probably
pulled
been
a bit of a blinder
out, but
there.
That was teamwork.
Yeah, it turns out that Reggie Cray is apparently really pleased with you. That's really well played. Yeah, thank you very much, Helen. No, good tactical mind there.
You know what? On that, I am going to end the episode there. Like you say, in a tactical mindset, ready for whatever comes.
Oh, it'd be a terrible shame if something were to happen to this monster, wouldn't it? Eh? Terrible shame.
Are we in EastEnders? Are we literally underneath?
Well, like, we've basically been mugged by this monster at this point.
Albert Square. Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the monster gets to act next, so I might well be saying goodbye for the final time here, you guys.
No!
So,
No.
Bye!
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Has lost the stat. We're in an edit now. I lost the stat. I accidentally closed the window stat and now I haven't got no stats. Get in the stats and then we'll play. We'll have lots of fun, a happy day. By which I mean fort safe for everyone.
Oh, God.
I've got the stats now. It's a bad time. Okay, gonna come back in.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.